In his Hesped for Rav Tendler, Rabbi Ari Berman, president of Yeshiva University, said, Rabbi Tendler represented everything that Yeshiva University stands for. In the world of Torah and Mada, Rabbi Tendler removed the Vav and fully integrated both aspects into his life. It was holistic. It was who he was. Rav Tendler removed the Vav. Torah, Mada. Complete synthesis. He would often quip in Shir that there should be more Mada in the Torah classes, in the yeshiva part of Yeshiva University, and more Torah in the Mada classes at Yeshiva College. And he brought science into the Beit Midrash and Torah into the laboratory. Sophisticated sugyot were illuminated by scientific material, and his biology classes were peppered with Ma'amari Chazal. Indeed, Rav Tendler lived and breathed Yeshiva University's motto of Torah Mada. So much ink has been spilled, so many books and articles written and published, so many conferences trying to define, refine, and redefine Torah Umada. What is Torah Umada? And what was Torah Umada according to Rav Tendler? How did he interpret it? How did he apply it? In January of 2011, I had the privilege of organizing a shiur here in Harnof for Mori v'Rabbi Rav Tendler. And the title of the shiur was Science in the Service of Halakha, Lessons in Emunat Chazal. In the lecture, Rav Tendler, Kedarko Bakodesh, with great finesse, attempted to reconcile Torah sources and passages in Chazal with science. And I think the title of that shiur, that expression, Science in the Service of Halakha, perfectly articulates Rav Tendler's approach to Torah Umada. According to Chazal, you all know, there is wisdom to be found among the Gentiles. Yesh Chochmah Bagoyim, here in the Daf Hei Mekorot, on source number one. Chazal tell us, Im Yomar Lecha Adam, if an individual tells you, Yesh Chochmah Bagoyim Tamim, if he tells you there is wisdom to be found among the Gentiles, believe him. Hadahu Dichtiv, as the verse in Sefer Ovadia says, V'avadati Chachamim Me'adom U'tvuna Me'har Esav. Hashem says that on that day of reckoning, I will make the wise vanish from Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esav, which of course implies that there is wisdom among the Goyim. There is wisdom to be found in Edom and understanding to be found in Edom and Esav. And this statement, Yesh Chochma Bagoyim, is not hyperbole, it's not theoretical. Rav Tendler, an appreciation and an understanding of this wisdom, science, medicine, technology, is indispensable for being able to interpret Torah, for being able to perform the mitzvot haTorah, and to apply the halacha. Tendler would often cite the Talmud's critique here in source number two of one who knows how to calculate the calendar based on astronomy and the constellations, but does not do so. And continues that such calculations are considered a mitzvah. Shemitzvah al ha'adam v'chashev tkufot u'mazalot. We are commanded, we are obligated to study these things, to be able to know how to make such calculations. He would point to the Gemara here in source number three, in the first parak of Sanhedrin, which describes how Rav spent 18 months studying among the shepherds in order to understand the physiology of animals, of sheep, which blemishes on animals heal and which are permanent, to know which animals can be allowed on the Mizbeach. The Gemara there, just to give you a little context, is discussing the authority that Rav will have. It's the source for the concept of smicha. They give him the authority, more, more, yadin, yadin. He can answer on questions of iser, v'heter. He can rule on monetary matters. But then there's a question, can he be matir b'chorot? And so Rav says about himself, where I've underlined, V'amar Rav, shmona asar chodashim gadalti etzel ro'e behema, leida eze mum kavua ve'eze mum over. I spent 18 months a year and a half studying biology, studying the anatomy of animals out in the fields in order to be able to paskin. Rav Tendler would often cite the Gemara here in source number 4, in Masechet Nidah, where Rabbi Zeira was hesitant to rule on issues of Nidah, of family purity, without the requisite knowledge of the physiology involved. And in fact, on more than one occasion, Rav Tendler was very critical of Puskim, who lacked the requisite knowledge of female anatomy or the reproductive system, and made mistakes either in Psak Halacha or in their printed Sfari concerning the laws of family purity. For Rav Tendler, an understanding of the science is indispensable in order to paskin Halacha. And this approach of his to Torah, Mada, science in the service of Halacha, I think is best formulated in a comment of the Nitziv to Parashat Baalotcha, another source that Rav Tendler was fond of quoting. Here in source number 5, the Torah in Parashat Baalotcha commands Aharon that when he kindles the lamps of the menorah, Baalotcha Taneirot, El Mul Pnei HaMenorah, Ya'iru Shivat Taneirot, the branches of the candelabrum of the menorah and the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, and then later the Beit HaMikdash, have to face the center lamp. And the Nitziv here, in source number 5, towards the bottom of the page, where I've underlined, writes, Mishum Sheba Torah Sheba Peh, Nichlal Sheva Chochmot. The 7 branches of the menorah represent 7 different types of wisdom, 7 different types of knowledge. Shebli Yidya B'chol HaChochmot, Yefshar Lavo L'Kama Yikari Torah. And without the knowledge and understanding of these types of wisdoms, it's impossible to be able to truly understand the fundamentals of Torah and to apply the halacha. Kimo shirei klayim, v'tzim, v'kidush ha-chodesh, v'od harbei inyanei shirim. The Nitziv here gives a number of examples. The Nitziv touches on this in a number of places in his comments on the Torah in his Hemek Davar. And then he writes, V'chol ha-chochmot ba'u l'shamesh u'leva'er azharot Torah shebichtav. And all of these different chochmot, all of these different branches of wisdom, all of these different fields, all of these different disciplines, they're there to explain, ultimately, and to illuminate. Just as the menorah illuminates, these branches of wisdom are there to illuminate the Torah, which of course is the center branch. Now it's interesting, the Nitziv here doesn't cite the Vilna Gaon, but this idea is often attributed to the Vilna Gaon. For many, Rabbi Eliyahu ben Shlomo Zalman of Vilna, Eliyahu Hasid, the Vilna Gaon personifies the perfected Torah personality with his complete, unflinching dedication to Torah study. Yet, the Gaon also possessed a profound knowledge and deep understanding of secular studies, even encouraging his Talmidim to engage in the study of secular subjects. In their introduction to his Aderet Eliyahu, the Gaon's own children attest to the fact that by the time he was 12 years old, he had mastered all the 7 branches of secular wisdom, these 7 branches that the Nitziv refers to. And according to written testimony, the Gaon, as I mentioned, openly encouraged his students to pursue Chochmah, secular knowledge. One of his Talmidim, Rabbi Baruch Shik of Shklov, translated Euclid's Elements into Hebrew. And if you take a look here, you'll turn the page and look at source number 6. This is a passage, I apologize, it's very difficult, the text here. It was only printed once in The Hague, in Shnat Tafkuf Mem. But if you look at the second line here, towards the middle, again, the text is a little bit difficult to read. But here, in the introduction to his translation of Euclid's The Elements from Greek into Hebrew. And by the way, Euclid is known as the father of geometry. And he, in this work, The Elements, lays down the major principles of geometry. It was written about 300 BCE. Okay? In his introduction, Rav Baruch Mishklov writes, Shamati bipi kadosh, I heard from his holy lips, כפי מה שיחסר לאדם ידיעות משערי החוכמות, לעומת זה יחסר לו מעט ידיעות בחוכמה התורה. To the degree that one is deficient in his understanding of all of these different types of secular wisdom, mathematics and science, so too he will be deficient in his understanding of the Torah 100-fold. And then Rav Baruch of Shklov goes on to say that the Gaon of Vilna encouraged him to continue and translate these classics into Hebrew to make them accessible to the Jewish community. Now, should anyone question the veracity of this account here, it was published in The Hague, as I mentioned, in Tavkuf Mem, 1780, while the Vilna Gaon was still alive. So, very difficult to question whether the Gaon actually said this. It was printed during the Gaon's own lifetime. And one of his closest disciples, Rabbi Yisrael of Shklov, writes in the introduction to his Pata Shulchan, which is a very important work on the mitzvot that apply here in Eretz Yisrael, he writes something very similar. He writes that the Vilna Gaon explained that all secular wisdom is essential for our holy Torah and included in it. If you take a look here at the middle of the first line, or towards the end of the first line rather, Ko'amar Ko'a Chochmot Nitzrachim L'Toratenu HaGdosha. They're all included in the Torah. V'yadam kulam l'tachlitam. And the Vilna Gaon, he writes, he had a knowledge of all of them. He had mastered all of them, including, he goes on to say, algebra and trigonometry and geometry and even music. And so I believe that Rav Tendler merely saw himself as continuing this tradition. He understood the relationship of Torah and science the way the Rambam did down on to the Vilna Gaon. It served him as a posek, as a moreh hora'ah, day to day, and when tackling difficult shilot, controversial questions, as a posek, anyone who knew him knew that he could be unyielding, uncompromising, and unapologetic. He lived by the Torah's charge to the Dayan, Lo taguru mipnei ish. You shall not tremble before any man. And if you knew Rav Tendler, he did not tremble before anyone. Whether it was brain death, mitzitza bepeh, or ascending har habayit, he was unafraid to take a controversial stance, even at great personal cost. He strove for truth, often quoting the Maharshal's comment that any distortion of the Torah, any ziuf ha-Torah, yehareg v'al yavor, one has to give up his life. Or of Soloveitchik's comparison of a posek who errs, who makes a mistake, to a Navi Sheker. But his stances on brain death and mitzitza bepeh, they were based on his understanding of science and medicine. And he was critical of those poskim whom he believed were in error because they lacked the requisite scientific or medical knowledge. Science served him. He was impressed by the research, for instance, of Rav Gorin. Rav Gorin had conducted following the Six-Day War with the Army Corps of Engineers, how he had the Army Corps of Engineers survey the topography of the Har HaBayit to understand where it was permitted to go. And I, together with many of you sitting here, had the privilege of accompanying Rav Tendler many times up on Har HaBayit. He was impressed by the overwhelming and compelling historical, archaeological, forensic, and chemical evidence identifying the Murex trunculus as the chilazon for the dying of Tchelet. His understanding of science also allowed him to explain difficult passages in the Torah and Chazal, how to reconcile Darwinism and evolution and the age of the universe with the story of creation and our tradition, for example. Or how to understand why the Torah calls the Shafan and the Arnevit ruminants. He would share how when he once visited Hawaii, they took him to a certain island where every few years, when certain conditions are met, the water completely recedes, for which Rav Tendler could possibly provide a scientific explanation of Kriyat Yam Suf. Of course, it's all about the timing right? And therein lies the miracle. Or how before the Sinai was given back to Egypt, he, together with a group of scientists, was invited to study the flora and fauna in the Sinai. And Rav Tendler, a posek and a professor with a PhD in microbiology, identified lichens which live in the Sinai and in the Negev, which carve into the rock about 1.5 to 2 millimeters deep. Not unlike how the Gemara in Sota, Rav Tendler suggested, relates how the Shamir engraved the Avnei Choshen and the Avnei Ephod. Science served Rav Tendler when explaining passages in Chazal which lichora are inconsistent with modern science. Like the Mishnah in Chulin, which discusses the kashrut of an animal missing kidneys, which can't be. An animal without kidneys can't live. Or the Mishnah in Chulin, which describes the ritual status of an achbar shechetzio basar vechetzio adama, a rodent which is half rat, half dirt or mud. Can such a thing exist? Have we ever seen such a thing? And Rav Tendler was not uncomfortable in saying that Chazal based themselves on the science of their day, the science of their times, and through his vast scholarship, pointed to various scientific works, scientific texts, works of natural history of the Greeks from that very period, which describe such cases: animals without kidneys, rodents that are half mouse, half dirt, and explain that Chazal were dealing in theoreticals. It doesn't have to mean that they saw these things, but they were dealing in theoreticals. What if one would see such an animal? What would its status be with regards to Tumat Sheretz, where you touch the animal? That's the context there. Or the Gemara in Shabbat, and Daf Kuv Zayin, which says that it's permitted to kill lice because they do not reproduce. They come from sweat and dirt. Lice don't reproduce. And Rav Tendler had no qualms explaining that Chazal believed in spontaneous generation, just like the entire world did at that time. And despite the fact that more modern poskim, like the Mishnah Brura, rules that one is exempt even today if he would kill a louse because it does not reproduce, Rav Tendler ruled instead like the 18th century Italian rabbi and physician Rav Yitzchak Lampranti, author of the rabbinic encyclopedia Pachad Yitzchak, that no, today one indeed would be chayev for killing a louse with what we know after Van Leeuwenhoek, the father of microbiology, and after the advent of the microscope, that lice do indeed lay eggs and reproduce like every other insect. Anyone who has daughters here in Ghana know very well that lice lay eggs and reproduce. It's not that Chazal, Chas v'Shalom, were in error or made mistakes. They trusted scientists. They trusted in the scientific and medical community, the scientists and the doctors of their day. Yesh chokhma bagoyim ta'amin. They believed there was wisdom found among the Gentile scientists and doctors. And so Rav Tendler also had no problem saying, like the Gonim and like the Rambam, and like many others before him, that we are not obligated to follow the medical advice or opinions of the Talmud. Our great Chachamim were basing themselves again on the medicine of the day. I mean, we all just saw how, over the course of the pandemic, the scientific and medical community made mistakes early on, trying to figure things out in real time. And certainly, in another 1,500 years from now, many things that we believe to be true today may be proven wrong, or maybe inconsistent with the current thought or trend or practice in medicine. Science served Rav Tendler. But the truth is, Rav Tendler's Torah Umada was not solely utilitarian. It wasn't merely just functional. That served a function or a purpose. It wasn't only in the service of halakha. Rav Tendler saw an inherent value in the study and appreciation of science to better understand Hashem's wondrous creation. If you take a look here In source number 8, the Rambam in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, where he defines the mitzvah to love and to fear Hashem. The Rambam asks, V'heichi haderech l'ahavato v'yirato. What is the proper path? What is the way one can come to love and fear Hashem? After all, how can you truly love someone or something that you don't know, that you don't understand? And the Rambam continues, Bishashi bonein ha'adam b'ma'asav u'b'borav ha'nifla'im ha'gdolim v'yiramehen chochmato she'en la'erech v'lo keitz miyad u'ohev u'mishabech u'mifa'er u'mitaveh ta'va gdola le'idah Hashem ha'gadol. The Rambam explains that when an individual discerns and studies and appreciates Hashem's wondrous creation, His great creation, and he sees the great wisdom which is without end that this creation, this world contains, immediately, the Rambam writes, he will come to love Hashem. He will come to praise Hashem, to extol Hashem, and to desire Hashem with a great desire, a great love. Kimo she'amar David sama nafshi le'elokim le'kel chai. Just like David HaMelech says, my soul thirsts for you, Hashem, the living God. How does one come to love Hashem? According to the Rambam, it's through plumbing the depths and studying and understanding His wondrous world, His wondrous Bria. And for Rav Tendler, the study of science and medicine wasn't purely to know how to be able to paskin a shaila. That was a very important part of it. But it was so much deeper. It had an inherent value. It was about appreciating Hashem's wondrous creation. And he experienced that and felt that in the science laboratory, looking through a microscope at the smallest thing. He saw Hashem's hand in this world. He would often say, Mother Nature has a father. He saw Yad Hashem in the smallest cell under the lens of a microscope. And he also saw the Yad Hashem in his creation when he would go here to the Biblical Zoo here in Jerusalem with his family. When he would go to the new aquarium. I remember after the first time he visited the new aquarium here in Jerusalem, he came back with his face all lit up, his eyes all lit up, with almost the curiosity of a child, so excited about witnessing Hashem's wondrous creation. In this week's Parsha, we'll read how Noach blesses his sons, Shem and Yafet, and says, Yafte Lokim Leyafet, Vishkon Ba'ale Shem. That Hashem will give great beauty to Yafet, but it has to dwell in the tents of Shem. It's a famous comment of Rav Hirsch here in source number 9, that the beauty of Yafet, the beauty and wisdom found in Western culture and Western civilization can indeed dwell together in harmony in the tents of Shem. Rav Tendler saw great beauty in the contributions of the West to our world. I'd like to end with a Mishnah that Rav Tendler was fond of quoting here in source number 10, very bottom of the page. The Mishnah records, Rabbi Shimon says, Hamalech baderech, someone who is walking along the way, Vishoneh, and he's learning, he's reviewing his Mishnah, Umafsik miMishnato, and he stops from his learning. He closes the Sefer, puts down the book, Veomer, and he says to himself, Ma na'ei lanze, wow, how beautiful is that tree over there. Umana enirze. Wow. How gorgeous is that beautiful plowed field. When you walk here in Har Nof, you say, wow, what a view. What a beautiful view. The Mishnah continues, Ma'ale lav ha-katuv ki'ilu mitchev ben afsho. The verse says about him, it's as if he is obligated in the death penalty. He's responsible. He's bringing about ki'ilu, not literally, but almost. He's responsible for his own death, ki'ilu. He needs to be punished. He's done something wrong. The question that Rav Tendler asked is, what did he do wrong? He merely stopped for a moment to appreciate Hashem's creation, which, as we just said, according to the Rambam, is one of the ways one can come to love Hashem. Rav Tendler explained in one word, he was mafsik. He stopped. He stopped learning. Meaning, he saw these as two different independent things. He saw that there's Torah, and then there's a beautiful tree or a beautiful field. He created conflict where there is no conflict. Rav Tendler saw no conflict between Torah and the natural world. For him, they lived together in perfect harmony. They complemented one another. Rav Tendler was equally at home quoting Galen as he was quoting the Rambam. Equally at home in the Dalet Amot of the Beit Midrash as he was in the four L's of the science lab. In the introduction to his classic work on the subject, Torah Umada, Rabbi Norman Lamb warns, quote, "The intersections of Torah and Mada are not always clear. Indeed, they are more often than not elusive and indeterminate." For Rav Tendler, they were not elusive or indeterminate at all. As Rabbi Ari Berman, president of Yeshiva University, said in his Hesped, there was no vav in his version of Torah Umada. Just complete synthesis. No conflict. Complete harmony. Rav Tendler's life was a Torat Chayim, a living, breathing Judaism that engages the modern world and confronts its challenges. The Gemara in Brachot teaches, Al yipater adam mechaveiro, ela mitoch dvar halacha, shemitoch kach zochreihu. One should only take leave of his friend by sharing first with him a dvar halacha, so that through it he will remember him. Why? What does the Gemara mean? Life is finite, temporary, fleeting. Even our relationships are fleeting. People come in and out of our lives. But Torah is eternal. The Torah is forever. The Torah is everlasting. When we study Torah together, that is eternal. That's an eternal bond that endures, that lasts forever. I felt that with Rav Tendler, as I'm sure many of you did. Tzadikim b'mitatam kriyim chayim. The righteous, even in their death, are called living. Rav Tendler's Torah continues to guide us. Mimoshe ad Moshe lo kam ke Moshe. Like Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam Moshe ben Maimon, and Moshe Feinstein, Rav Tendler, Moreinu Harav, Moshe David, ben Yitzchak Isaac Zatzal, taught Torah to generations, connecting them with our precious Masora. He was a living link in the chain of tradition and leaves a lasting legacy in the myriads he taught and inspired. Yehi Zichro Baruch.